Lhasa. So this morning we return, of course, to the Four Immeasurables. My own sense with respect to both the various practices of shamatha that we're investigating, as well as the meditations on these Four Immeasurables, is that we're starting from a point, or from a kind of a contemplative foundation, for which there really doesn't need to be any doubt. Descartes is very well known for wanting to establish a philosophical view of reality that would be based on absolutely unquestionable, indubitable, undoubtable axioms. Start with something that is absolutely true, and then, like a mathematician, try to build on that so that everything else you say would be true as long as it was logically rigorous. So for philosophy, but likewise for one's contemplative practice. If it's based on a leap of faith, then of course it can collapse as soon as that faith collapses, or the faith wobbles, the whole building wobbles. Whereas if we're starting by the simple cultivation of relaxation, stability, and vividness, which really could almost define sanity, that seems pretty indubitable. And when we turn to these four virtues, these sublime virtues of the heart, of loving kindness, compassion, empathetic joy, and equanimity, who could doubt? What sane person could possibly doubt that these are virtues? If these can be cultivated, that's a good thing, and let's find out. So both for the heart and the mind, so to speak, I think we have a very firm foundation here. And so as we turn now to the Four Immeasurables, we move on to the next one, namely empathetic joy. But I'd like to point out very briefly that there's a very meaningful sequence. It's not just four sublime, indubitable virtues of the heart, but there's actually a very meaningful sequence among these four, and they are in sequence. First of these, loving kindness, as we aspire for our own and others' genuine happiness, not only hedonic, but becoming something of a visionary, moving out of old ruts, locked in thinking, consumer-driven, acquisition-driven, materialistically driven, into a larger framework, a larger vision of what flourishing really entails, drawing on the great wisdom traditions of the world, East and West. So we start there. It's very upbeat, and it's as we arouse this vision, we arouse the aspiration, we're really moving into the realm of possibility, imagining what isn't already but which could be. And so it's uplifting. This is why so many people like metta bhavana, love the meditative cultivation of metta or loving kindness. It's very popular for very good reason. It's uplifting. It's inspiring. Brings a warmth to the heart, and even if one is more just kind of swimming around in emotions, nevertheless, it's a very nice emotion, right? But as one moves into that realm of possibility, that these lovely thoughts and loving thoughts, sooner or later you have to open your eyes, come out of your meditation, and then you look around in your own life, the lives of those around you, and how can one avoid the reality that there is so much suffering? So much of it is unnecessary. There's so much proliferation of the underlying causes of suffering, such as ignorance and delusion, craving, hostility, and so forth. So when you return, you come off your loving-kindness high, and you return to the actuality of this world right now, the reality of suffering and the underlying causes can be a bit overwhelming, as James so rightly pointed out yesterday. In which case, then, we need to deal with that, and that's where we move into compassion. May we be free of suffering, the cause of suffering. And so arousing this, balancing out with that loving kindness, may we be free, may we be free. We also move into, having really confronted, attended closely to the reality of suffering and its causes, we also then, of course, venture into the realm of possibility. Perhaps there is indeed a possibility of freedom from suffering, or at least some really significant attenuation of suffering and its causes. So one lifts oneself out of the possible grief that could overwhelm one. But then when you're venturing into that realm of hope, that realm of possibility, you might wonder, are there any grounds for such hope, or is this just wishful thinking, pie in the sky? You know? And that brings us to the third of the Four Immeasurables, empathetic joy. Attending closely to the joy that is in the world, both hedonic as well as genuine happiness, and attending to those who are really devoting their lives, their skills, their intelligence, their creativity to bringing about an alleviation of suffering in the world and enhancing others' well-being. So empathetic joy and virtue, and then the causes and the results of virtue, which are happiness. So this brings us to empathetic joy. And as we'll approach it this morning, very much in a Theravada mode, we are actually cultivating an emotion. Just as emotions can give rise to thoughts, so can thoughts, memory, imagination, and so forth, also give rise to emotion. And the emotion we're seeking to arouse here is a sense of gladness, of satisfaction, of rejoicing, empathetic joy. We can do this in a myriad of ways, but, and now as I draw to close these prefatory comments, I'd like to start the practice in a very personal way, as we have with loving kindness and compassion, first up focusing ourselves and then extending outwards. And that is attending, as we go back in our own memories, attending to the kindness for which we have been the recipient. And that is attending closely from childhood on, infancy on, to the kindness we've received at the hands of others, obviously our parents, really first of all, and then all those who have served us so well in terms of nurturing us, supporting us in our pursuit of hedonic well-being, which is so important, as well as genuine happiness, those near, those far, and so forth. And so this is what I'll invite you to do in the next session, is go back in your, and so we'll have, again, if there are 40 people in the room, 40 unique meditations, to go back into your own personal history and just reflect upon, attend to the virtues, the kindness of others from childhood on. And as you do so, two things are bound to arise, and they're utterly mingled, like two threads that form one yarn that are woven together. And that is, on the one hand, a sense of gratitude, of course, to all the kindness we've received at the hands of others. But then also a sense of empathetic joy, delight, that such virtue, such kindness is shown in the world, and simply taking delight in the virtues of others. So let's start there. Please find a comfortable position. By now, this initial bell may naturally trigger the response of settling your body in its natural state, your respiration in its natural rhythm, leading you then to quietly calm the discursive mind for a little while with mindfulness of breathing. in this meditative cultivation of empathetic joy. We attend by way of memory to the world of actuality, of what already has been and is now, and not simply possibilities for the future. So I invite you now to direct your attention backwards in time, to your earliest memories, to your childhood. And there's no question this is selective memory. All of us may very well have experienced adversities in our childhood, our youth, and so forth. We may have been treated badly by various people, of course. The mind tends to focus on the negative, especially when it falls in rumination. But now let's balance that out. And specifically attend to the kindnesses shown to you. First of all, in your childhood, the kindness that enabled you to survive, to be educated, to be nourished, educated in all ways. Attend to the kindness shown you by your parents, perhaps your siblings, other relatives and loved ones. And with each out-breath, breathe out, as it were, the sense of gratitude, the sense of taking delight, satisfaction in the kindness and virtues of others, especially as they have been shown to you. Imagine expressing this gratitude to each one, whether they are living or have passed away. then move forward in time to your adolescence. And in the same way, attend to those who have helped you in a myriad of ways, teachers, relatives, friends. Breathe out your sense of gratitude and of empathetic joy. Then move forward in time in the same way to your adulthood, whether it spans just a few years or decades, and practice in the same way. then whether you are here in the mind center, in Phuket, or elsewhere listening by way of podcast, bring your attention to your present life circumstances. And attend to those around you, far and near. Independence upon whom you're able to flourish, attending to those people who've shown you kindness, enable you to survive. Enable you to pursue a meaningful life. Attend closely and practice as before. release all appearances, all objects of the mind, and let your awareness rest in its own nature, holding its own ground, resting in its own place. So enjoy your day and enjoy others' day too, together.